Saving money on your next project now at Menards. Menards is the leading supplier of quality roof and floor trusses. Choose from our large selection of residential and post-frame trusses or design custom trusses specifically for your project. Get started on your building project today, in-store or on Menards.com. Plus, view our weekly flyer for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. And then my son says, he said, Mom, I need a father's hug. He didn't say my father. He said, I need a father's hug. Your hugs aren't enough. And I, like, as much as I was trying to do, I literally, it was like this reality was right there in front of me. There is nothing I can give him. I literally cannot provide what he needs. As much as I'm trying, as I'm trying to meet all his needs, trying to wrestle and give him, like, you know, boy energy and all of, I could not. And he was very clearly communicating, I don't need what you have.
Before we dive in, just a quick favor. If you're enjoying what we're doing at Angels Among Us, please take a second to rate and review the show. And if something in today's episode touches your heart, please share it with a friend. Welcome to Angels Among Us, the podcast where we share real stories of angelic encounters. Each episode, you'll hear firsthand accounts of divine protection, guidance, and miraculous interventions that remind us we're never truly alone. Whether through a whisper of comfort, an unseen hand of protection, or an unmistakable presence, angels are closer than we think. Join us as we explore these powerful experiences of angels, both seen and unseen. Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of Angels Among Us. Brent Michaela here is your host. We are joined by Amanda Rendon. We are excited. We're always excited, as you all know. Amanda and I connected via social media. She puts out videos, a lot of them talking about God. I love them. What do you call them in your videos? God moments or God?
God stories.
God stories. Yep. So I think we're going to be lucky enough to hear some God stories today. We had a little bit of technical difficulties here just a second ago. That usually happens right before we're about to have a really good episode or right in the middle of something. I think truly. Satan likes to try to throw his ring in the hat every now and then. So you're all in for a treat. So Amanda, I'll turn it over to you. Go ahead and give a brief introduction. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself and then get going into what you
all
have
right,
for
we'll
us.
Jump in. Well, I'm Amanda. I'm a single mom of two awesome kids. I found the Lord in the jungles in Thailand. I was a former licensed fighter, so I was doing Muay Thai. I was on my own journey over there, but I was a hot mess. I was addicted. I was bulimic. I didn't know which way was up. I was trying to find God in temples. I was asking Buddhist priests. I was asking Sikh priests. I was seeking God and seeking truth. And then God went like this with my life and dropped me into the jungles of Thailand, Burma, and had me work with orphans, which completely changed my life. I had encountered his love there. And I left the jungle with two truths, and I literally tattooed it on my body right then and there, that I knew. I was realizing God's love was all around me. I was starting to see it in the jungle, in the water, in the kids' faces, like, it was just everywhere. I was immersed in it. And that was something that would now be unshakable. And I was realizing I had encountered the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so those two truths were where I began. I left the jungle, left my old life behind. And I've been on this journey of discovering his identity for us kind of ever since. After that, I went through a narcissist relationship, lost my identity completely. After finding God, I still went down that journey. I ended up starting my life over just 6 years ago. Actually, yesterday was the anniversary. I packed up my car and started over with nothing. And so I've really encountered God in the jungles, literally, there was no running water and spiders the size of my face. And I was there, this target girl, like, I can't do this, God. And then also in the courtrooms, in the trenches, in the bathroom floors where I can't go on another day, like, I've encountered him in the trenches. And now I started a company to help other women find their identity. And in that process, I went to school for anything that had to do with behavioral science. How are we wired? How can we overcome trauma? What's, you know, what does it actually look like? What are the practical ways? What's effective? So I can help people get unstuck because there was another piece of the story. God told me to go to Iraq while I was pregnant and I had a one-year-old and start a safe house for the girls escaping ISIS. So there were child brides, trafficked children. I did that, encountered him there also. But what I saw is that we would rescue these kids, but they were still tormented. They were, you know, we could get them physically out, but how do we get them back from what the enemy did to them? And so because of that whole experience, it was God would just drop me in these crazy experiences. And now I'm here helping others so that they can go get in the fight also. But that's basically where I'm at now. I found my why, I found the how, and now I'm coming back for the others. And I actually just launched, it was really cool, the 6-year anniversary of when I was like, I don't know how to start over. I'm a single mom now and I have no money and nowhere to go. And what the heck? I just launched my first product that will help people reclaim their identity. And I didn't even mean to do it on the very anniversary that this all
takes. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my word.
Yeah. That kind of stuff happens.
Yeah.
The time.
Yeah.
But before you get into more, I want to share or ask just a couple things really quick. You say that God told you to do these things, right? To do certain things. And we hear that a lot. I mean, we hear that from people from time to time. You know, God put it on my heart or God told me or, you know, and it's, I know that it's different for everybody, that communication and the way that he communicates with us. I'm curious if you can kind of tell everybody how it is that you hear him or how he communicates with
you. Yeah. I actually get this question probably more than I had no idea. This is, you know, where we can really help people and equip people. So I wrote a free thing to help people navigate that and answer that question. But for me personally, like the Iraq one, that was a really big one. I was in the shower and a thought just went this way. You know, my thoughts kind of know the cycle or pattern of our thoughts. And then one just it's like a semi-truck going in the opposite direction. And it was, I want you to go to Iraq, start a safe house. You'll be there for 6 months and you'll be pregnant. And then I want you to hand it off. And it was so clear in a thought that I was like, you got the wrong mailbox. Like this has no, I was a stay at home mom. This made no sense whatsoever. But I've noticed that, I do want to say this, that came years after responding to little thoughts. Amanda, go tell that person I love her. I was like, wait, was that you? And then I dared to step out. Oh my gosh, that was God. She said, I just asked God, and so, do you love me? And then you came over and said, he loves me. Like I started seeing, being faithful with the little things. So when he would tell me something little, I would go, was that you? Can you confirm that? Can I find this in your word? And I would start the process of stepping out. And in obedience, I discovered, oh my gosh, there's somebody on the other end and he really is talking to me. And then when I listen, the craziest things happen. So that was a lifetime of obedience and building that trust. And then the big one came, you know, the go to Iraq. And so I had a history of, I recognize this voice. And as crazy as this sounds, I'm gonna, you know, dare to take some steps. And so with that one, my fleece, a lot of people know the, you know, what's your fleece? What are we gonna ask to confirm that this is you? So I called somebody and I said, this is what, you know, the thought. And then he was like, absolutely not. This would not, no, like, that's such a bad idea. God would never, a war just started. Everybody's fleeing the area. And I was like, you're right. And then he said, but we'll ask God together. Lord, how much do you need to go over? Like, well, to send the initial team, it'd probably be like 15 grand because we want to bring supplies for the refugees, all this stuff. Okay, that's the fleece then. I have, you know, how much do you have in your bank account? Like $500? I don't know, you know, so this definitely has to be God. So the guy says, Okay, Lord, that's the fleece. If you want them to go, they need $15,000. And then he gets off the phone and someone calls him and says, hey, I sold a lot of land and it was $150,000 and I want to take 10%. God said to give it to you because you will know who it needs to go to.
Oh my gosh. I have full chills.
Right?
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's incredible. And I dare say unbelievable, but it's not unbelievable. Yeah. And those kinds of things, we hear stories like that all the time. And it's just a matter of us, and I'm speaking about myself also, is trusting and just putting our faith in Him and allowing Him to take care of the details and stuff. And yeah, because I mean, you could tell that story to people, right? We might have listeners that are listening and they can still think all of that is just a coincidence. But until we experience those kinds of things ourselves, that's when it really sets in. When we experience God, that's when we become convicted. And I just love it. And I tell people all the time, put them to the test. Just put them to the test and try it for yourself. Anyway, I'm talking too much. So I want to hear more. Great. Yeah, Michaela's sitting there nodding her head.
Mm-hmm. he always says, oh, I'm not going to go and talk. No, he's just passionate.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I agree. I really do believe like that putting to the test, I say like, just start the conversation. Like I believe that the conversation is already started on his end, that he's always communicating to us. Like I love, I'm absolutely obsessed with nature. I live as much as time as I can outdoors. Because the more I got to know God and the more I started to try to practice hearing his voice, he would just kind of call me out to nature. And in Romans, I don't remember where, but it says like, nature is making his invisible qualities visible to us. So I recommend for people that want to step out, like, I don't know how to hear him, I can't recognize, like, go to where you're immersed in him, go to the ocean, go to the forest, I live in the desert, I see him everywhere. So that's been really cool to lean into that and to develop that. And so I love to tell people, just, he's trying to communicate to you, like, how much he adores you. Like, we have a whole, you know, a book, a Bible that's packed with his just, I love you, I died for you, I want to show you who you are, your inheritance, the purposes and plans I have for you. But the alive and active one that activates that and gets us into the fight, we need to know that he's all talking to us all the time. And so our response is, you know, start that conversation. The thing is, though, like, it's already started, but I think, like, telling people, just say, hey, are you there? And you're like, oh my gosh, you were here the whole time. I was just unaware of it. You know, there's that story in the Bible, and he says, I forget who was it, the one who slept on the rock, I think, who laid his head down. And he said, God was in this place the whole time, but I was unaware of it. So I think that's a lot of what it is our awareness. When we turn down the radio, put down our phones, and just be still out in nature, and he just starts to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, well, please tell us whatever else you have for us. I have one story in mind that I'm going to make you tell.
Okay, go for it. Which one?
The very first reel that I saw was the story of your son.
Oof. I know which one this is. I'm going to cry.
So, yes, if you would share that one, please.
Yes. Let me pull together real quick. So the backstory, this is again, like 6 years ago, right around to this day, we had left and started over with nothing. But because it was COVID, quarantine closed everything. So everybody's like freaking out and isolated. We lost our community. There was also a massive slander campaign. And a lot of people believed the stories and stuff. So people literally just like turned their back on me. So we had no community all of a sudden. So I'm starting over. I have like nowhere to go. My old pastor says, We have a condo on the beach, and the Lord put you on our heart. We want to give it to you for a month to go rest. And so we go to this condo. Like, I leave. I'm like, I don't know where to go. And then this opens up. So took the step, dared to trust God. I go, and we don't know anybody. It's in a new city, new town. And then I think by week one or something, we're kind of reeling from how our life is shifting and all that's going on. And then my son says, he said, Mom, I need a father's hug. He didn't say my father. He said, I need a father's hug. Your hugs aren't enough. And I, like, as much as I was trying to do, I literally, it was like this reality was right there in front of me. There is nothing I can give him. I literally cannot provide what he needs. As much as I'm trying, as I'm trying to meet all his needs, trying to wrestle and give him, like, you know, boy energy and all of this, I could not. And he was very clearly communicating, I don't need what you have. And so I literally just fell to my knees and I sobbed and I held him and I grabbed my daughter there and we're just start crying. And I said, Lord, I can't give my son. I'm pouring out everything I have and it's not enough. It has to be you. And I started telling him out loud, just praying, you know, that's all I have. I can only cry out to God. I said, Lord, my son asked for a father's hug and you are the only one who can provide that. And that's all I have. And I just left it there. There was nothing I could do. And we cried. And then I just kept telling him, like, God loves you. That's all we can do. And then they asked, or I had to take the trash out after we collect ourselves and we go on a walk. And they said, can we go on a scooter ride? And I was like, I literally didn't even want to walk behind them and follow them on the scooters. I wanted to lay in bed and cry. And then, but I said, okay, we'll do one loop. And then I just want to come back and cry on the floor. And then, so we did our one loop. I threw out the trash. We keep going and I see two dads is sitting there. And I was like, oh my gosh, people are outside. Like, that's cool. And their little kids were running around. And then my son was like, hey, my name's Judah. And, you know, just, he's the most social person ever. So he runs over and they all play. And I just sit back and, you know, let them play. And the dads are like, you know, hi, you know, so we're like kind of cool. And then my son is so chivalrous. And he was so kind with one of the little girls and like helping her off the rock and like, are you okay? Or I can help you. And the dad was so moved by my son at the end of this hour. We stayed a whole hour and they were playing. And then he goes, I'm sorry, ma'am. This is so weird, but I'm literally compelled to hug your son. Is that okay? And I was like, and I told him like 1,000 times, yes, like, he just asked for a hug, so thank you. Yes, like, you have my permission. So he goes over to him. He goes, hey, Judah, I have to leave, but I wanted to know if it gets down eye to eye. Like, can I hug you, buddy? And he hugs him, and he picks him up, like, in a hug and just gives him a long embrace. And I couldn't believe it. So afterwards, I'm, like, trying to collect myself, and I tell him, like, Josh, now we had a little bit of rapport. We talked for that hour and stuff. And I said, I know this is going to sound absolutely crazy, but I just left everything behind. So my son asked me for a father's hug, like literally 20 minutes before we came out. And I said, God, can you give him a father's hug? And then you just asked for that. And he was like, I don't even know if I believe in God, but what?
Well, hopefully he does now.
He does.
Oh, that's so awesome. Holy cow.
Well, hopefully he listens. And Josh, if you're listening, thank you so much for being an angel in that moment.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do a little more talking here. I'm really sorry. But that totally reminded me. And I don't remember if we spoke about this when we were on the phone, but and I mentioned this a couple episodes ago also, but I had gotten in a conversation with somebody on social media in the comment section, and this person, well, somebody had commented and asked, it was a Muslim, asked if a Muslim can feel the Holy Spirit. And there was multiple comments on there of Christians responding, saying, no, 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 like, you know, with other things here and there. And I was like, are you people even really Christians? Like, of course he can influence and communicate to anybody whenever and however he wants. And I commented that, and then somebody wrote back saying, no, only if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior can you feel the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And I was like, no, that is so far from the truth. If that were true, there would be zero Christians. There would be nobody. That we have to be convicted and feel the Holy Spirit to recognize, because that's the communication, right? That's the communication. And without that, without feeling that communication, we're not going to believe these crazy stories of this person that was killed, performed all these miracles, and then was killed in front of everybody, and then 3 days later rose. Like, that is a crazy story to believe. Nobody would believe that unless you feel it first. Yeah. And so just like Josh, he didn't even know if he had a belief in God, right? Yet he didn't know what that communication was. He didn't know what it was that was telling him to give this boy a hug, you know? So that is beautiful. Yeah. And that, you were first telling me that story on social media, I was in tears, and it was incredible. Not only, I mean, there's so many awesome things about it, but the most important lesson there is that he listens and he provides what we need.
Yeah, he does. And I think that's one of my favorite God stories, because there's a lot of them that I'm like, I could muscle my way through this, or like, there's room that I could make it happen if I tried really, really hard. But that was literally like, there is no way that I can do this. Like, none. Impossible. And so that reliance on him built that trust that it's okay if I literally, there's no way forward. I can be at the Red Sea and be like, man, my dad will part it.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. Okay, well, you have a lot. So is there another one that stands out to you that you wouldn't mind sharing?
Yeah, let me ask, Lord, bring one to mind, because I do have so many. Let's see. Just on Sunday, it sounds silly, but I want to be so honest about this. I was super discouraged on Sunday, and you want to be like, how can you be discouraged? You've literally, God's parted the Red Sea. I love that I can relate to the Israelites. Some people are like, oh, how could they? I'm like, I know how they could, because I've already been like, Lloyd, where are you? So on Sunday, I was super discouraged. And I've had since I started my teaching identity work, I had warnings on Instagram warning my followers not to follow me on my products as I put them out. Warning, you know, not to follow this. And then every time I would try to record, something would happen. So then I had this 2-month runway I had created. Okay, I'm going to finally record, get this out and get it going. And it's been 2 months nonstop. I had, I think we all got some type of gnarly COVID, a parasite, mold, and there was something else. It was back to back, nonstop, every single week. And then I'm a single mom too, so there was no like, I can't just take time off work. I had to work through it. I'm exhausted. I was exhausted. All the stuff going on, so I was like so discouraged, and just telling God, I can't do it all. I'm a single mom. I don't know how to do this. And I felt like He said, look on this date and go back and see where I've brought you every single day, you know, my history with you. And it was this date was when I have the picture of me leaving everything behind in the car and telling God, this is impossible. Like, this is absolutely impossible. And I was like, oh my God, like, I was so encouraged. But the story, in even getting to the point to leave, I was, in the horrible situation, and God was telling me, you know, you need to leave. And I was like, I can't, I'm too scared. There's no way forward. I don't have any money. I don't have a job anymore. I was a full-time stay-at-home mom now. So I was just like, literally can't. But He kept pushing me, and then all these situations, just literally we had to leave. But this woman, right before I was like, okay, I'm going to take the step. A stranger comes up to me and says, she says, God's telling me to tell you something. And I was like, hold on, let me get my phone and record it. So I still have the recording. And she said, God's telling me this situation, boom, 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 with the man in our life that was she detailed it all. Things I'd not told people, didn't even come to accept myself was going on. She goes, boom, boom, boom. God sees this happening. And he says to be strong and courageous, that he's going to keep you safe on this journey. And she's going to, God's going to take him and see, you knock it off, you leave him alone, and you're going to be safe. So that, and then she says, be strong and courageous. He's telling you over again, be strong and courageous. So I get on Instagram right after that, and the first little thing is be strong and courageous. So I have a screenshot of that, the recording of that, you know, the push to go. And then every step of the way, that's when the place to stay opened up, and then I was able to get a job right after that, work from home, and able to pay the rent, you know, which was a lot, but I was able every step of the way. God moved it, provided friendship, versus just every step of the way. That's another one that comes to mind, because it's also like the anniversary of all those little things happening right now.
You are blowing me away. Just like the fact that you're willing to listen. And I think that, like, I'm going to say it right now, like, I needed this more than anyone knows, because I've been in this, like, chapter of my life trying to figure out, you know, like, my purpose, yeah, you know, as a mom and as a young mom, right? And being on this podcast has really, like, opened my eyes to how God works. No, Brent has this like awesome spiritual journey with God right now. And sometimes I feel like I don't even know what to ask him. I don't know, like, why are all these people having these big signs and like I don't? So like I feel like the prayer that I have asked lately like has led to you coming onto the show and helping me, you know? So thank you. Like I've learned so much from you, and like I want to say, like, what a honor it is to, in your situation, like, that he is working with you and you have put in the work to listen to him and have found your journey. And I'm not saying it's easy all the time, but like I admire that in you a lot. Yeah. So thank you.
Thank you for that. That's really encouraging to know that I could help in any way or encourage. So I would just love to speak to mothers if I can, especially like finding purpose and all of these things. And I feel like I have kind of a unique position because I've been the boss babe. I had a really awesome career and I was a pro fighter, like, you know, doing this stuff. And then I did missionary work. I was in the church. And then I was a mother, just broken, devastated mother. And I feel like God has just showed me, like, it. So it says, until I arose a mother, when Deborah arose a mother, not a judge, not a teacher, not a wife, not a daughter, not a woman, like all the other roles she had, it was until I arose a mother, then the whole nation changed. Like the entire nation changed because she chose to arise a mother. They were under severe oppression. So I was just saying, I've had all these roles. I feel like they're specific roles that the enemy baits us with as women. Like, go do this, go do this, go do this. You can be this, you can be all the things. I was the independent, tough, like, I have to prove my worth, I have to overachieve. I was like, I tried it all. And when I don't know if you can tell, I'm kind of like all in whatever I do, and I'm kind of fearless. So like, whatever I'm going to do, even if it's in the wrong direction, I'd commit to it. And I like fully did it. So I had like fully embraced all these identities and stuff. And then I come here and had the role of a wife and stay at home, all of that and stuff. Here I am just as a mother and rebuilding my identity and asking God, who do you say I am? Like, I almost took my own life. Like, after the narcissist was in my head for a decade, I believed I was worthless. And I literally believed the lie that the enemy was telling me, because I was so sick also on top of it, you have to get out of the way so he can remarry and the kids can have a woman that can mother them and love them and isn't all the things that you are. So I literally almost believed that lie. After that, I asked God, you know, God, thankfully, God stopped me and was just telling me, ask me, who you are. Like, stop asking the world. Don't ask your family cycles. Don't ask social media. Don't ask anybody. Like, ask me, who do you say I am? And I started to ask him, okay, who do you say I am? And from there, he just started rebuilding me from the foundations. I've always called you this. And then he said, you are more than you dare to dream or imagine. I just saw it, the Bible verse. He flipped it in my brain when I read it. It's Ephesians 3:20 says, I can do more than you dare to dream or imagine. But I saw it one day and I read it wrong, but it said, you are more than you dare to dream or imagine. I just felt his presence, like, will you say yes to me? You know? And so I had all these experiences already, and then I'm building from rock bottom, like, who do you say I am? And then I started to rebuild what he said, and it was a daughter first. Like, first we're daughters. That's where identity, if you're teaching on identity, like, you get to reclaim this place of identity, then we get to share it. But like you were saying, Brent, with the Holy Spirit, we love because he first loved us. We have to feel him first, you know, not because we chose him. So I went on this journey of like reclaiming my identity as a daughter. I'm loved, I'm safe, I'm seen, I'm held. Those are the things that children need to build on a healthy, their physiology has to be built on those things. I'm safe, I'm seen, I'm heard. When I cry, somebody responds, God hears me. All of that is foundational. So God literally was like rewiring my body to become these things as a daughter. But then when I started to step into my role as a mother and see like the power and potential that's in a mother, now I mother fiercely a lot of people. It's not just my kids. It is my favorite role I've ever done. Like, there's nothing more powerful on this earth. I feel the most fierce. I was a fighter, and I feel more fierce in the kitchen cooking, teaching my daughter, passing on how to be hospitable and nurture. And when they cry, I see them in safety and gentleness and the fruits of the Spirit. I'm like, oh, this is more powerful because I watched it. And so I'm saying this to you as a mother. That is so powerful. That it's greater is he in me than anything on this planet. So the trauma, the things I've worked with, that's what I step into now, is this identity of I'm a loved daughter. My dad backs me, but I'm moving as a mother. I'm moving as a mother, and the enemy cannot touch this child. Like, my mother's love and nurturing and gentleness, you loving and supporting your husband, you nurturing these kids and the people that come into your home, that is a role that shifts nations. So I hope that speaks to you and helps you in your journey.
It does, for sure. Oh, I'm going to be contacting you if I have to pay you or whatever I need to do. You're awesome.
I'm glad.
You know, this might be a little controversial, what I'm going to say, but I fully believe that God, I know that he loves all of us. That's not controversial, but I believe, and I have come to know this, that he loves his daughters the same way that I love my daughter. It is so different the way that I love my Reese than the way that I love my Tegan. I love them both unconditionally, but it is a different kind of love, and I know that it's the same for God and his daughters. It's a different kind of love, and I can see that it is so special and that his daughters are so sacred to him. And I know that you all are empowered with certain attributes that only you can have, that I cannot have, and I will never be able to experience, but I can witness it because of conversations, because you're willing to share, because I'm married to one of his daughters, and because one of my daughters is also one of his daughters. And knowing that, I hate how society has for thousands and thousands of years has treated women and has seen women. And even in the Christian world, I think it is so backwards, even from the very beginning, the story of Adam and Eve. And I truly think that we have gotten it wrong, that there are so many little nuggets in the Bible that teach us how much and how important and how sacred his daughters are to him.
God just brought it to mind. Two things. One time I, because of trauma, a lot of us put on an armor. It can be all kinds of things. You know, we get what identity we think is going to keep us safe. And mine was, you know, I have to protect myself. That's a lot of women defer to that. And so I had worn this armor. I can do it. I can figure it out. When it's the design, I believe, by God is men are figure outers. Like, we let them handle the problems. We let them be the ones to engage. And we get to be the flowy feminine over here. If we let that role, the figure outers, do the figuring out, engage the problems, be the protectors and providers. So I had not functioned in that. I'd not ever understood that. And God was trying to teach me how to be feminine again, how to be soft and flowing and all these things. And he kept telling me to watch this show, like just little promptings. When I say tell me, it was like, it kept coming to my mind. And so I watched the show. It was like the Lord of the Rings spinoff. And there's this scene, and she says, and she fights all these battles, and then she gets the honor of going off on the ship, and they tell her, but you have to take off your armor. Like, there's no need for armor. And she's just like wide-eyed, like white-knuckling. I don't know who I am without this. And I was like, just sort of bawling my eyes out. God's telling me, like, Manda, I need you to lay down your armor. And that was so new to me. But he started teaching me about, like, if women would lay down their armor and stop functioning as men and let them be what God designed them to be, we get to reclaim this amazing, like, we get to be playful, we get to be soft, we get to be, just be delighted in. And he told me, if you will do that again, be armorless, which also adds to that sacred, like, we need protecting and we're trusting you to protect us. Like, that's a different, beautiful relationship. It's just so precious because it needs protecting physically. But he said, if you will do that and surrender your armor, it reminds men what they're protecting, like what's beautiful about life. And I was just like, oh my gosh, like that is so beautiful. And so over the, you know, the course of that, I've been reclaiming that and been more playful as a mother and being like, so you mean to tell me you figure this stuff out. I don't have to do all this problem solving that I get stuck in and, you know, and then my cortisol goes up and I'm in fight or flight. You mean to tell me you want me to play and be present and be happy and joyful? And that's how I get to show up in the world. And he's like, yeah, that's exactly what I mean.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty awesome.
That is awesome. Mm. Yep.
Yep.
And it's so fun to, it's so fun to come to those realizations, you know, when we have these little awakenings. And I mean, none of us have it all figured out. It's, we're all just a bunch of dum-dums is what I like to say. And, you know, every now and then we get those aha moments and we're not so dumb.
Yeah. I love, people are like, I don't think God speaks to us. And I'm like, he does, because I prove it, because I'm not smart enough. I'm not wise enough. I'm not like, are you mean to tell me you think I'm this cool? Like, I orchestrated this stuff around the world internationally. I'm like, all right, you know.
So awesome.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah. Even this podcast. Come on. People that know me. A year and a half ago. And then I would tell them that, yeah, I have the best podcast in the world. Kidding, but let's get there. Yeah, if, you know, if I were to tell people that before, they're like, no, that's not.
Not tech savvy
Brent
at
did not
all.
Do that. But yeah, and I didn't do it. You know, God has had his hand in this from day one.
That's awesome.
So I want to ask you, really quick, mm-hmm. and I didn't warn you about this question.
I'm ready.
But when you think of angels, what is it that comes to mind?
I think I've shared, I study like deep Hebrew stuff. So I think of like cherubim and seraphim and like the threshold guardians. That's what I think of. Just the everyday angels. It's really like the Holy Spirit is really what I think of, how he compels, you know, and that doesn't have to be a believer. Even I just think of the Holy Spirit, compelling people to like, hey, I thought of you for some reason, like, and then they respond. We get to be surrounded and we get to have God interrupt the enemy's attempt at a narrative for us. So it's like, I could have had this story, like I'm hated, I'm worthless. I had somebody, you know, he spit on me, told me I'm worthless. Like I could live out that story, but there was people that stepped in and said, God told me to do this for you. God told me this. I actually am living not far from where the first man that came and spoke to my life was, I know he's human, still know who he is, but it was this angel stepping into my life, fresh out of jail. So fresh out of jail, covered in tattoos, on so many meds, telling me openly as he ran over because I was trying to move furniture and start over. And I had asked people in the church and they literally said, no, we don't agree with your choices for leaving, you know, the situation I was in. So I had so many opportunities to listen to the enemy, and this man runs over, and which logic would be like, no, thank you. Like, this is not safe. And he's on, oh, I'm on so many meds because I went to jail for this and this. And I'm like, oh, okay. But he says, hey, why are you lifting all this alone? Like, here, I'll help you. Hey, if you need help lifting something heavy, I live right over there. I will run over here. And I was like, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Trying to like not cry the whole situation. And he comes back the next day and he did like tattoo designs, and it said worthy of love. And he said, I'm not claiming to know God or anything, but he told me, I think he told me, to tell you this and to write this for you. And I just obviously start bawling my eyes out. I said, my name means worthy of love. And I didn't really believe that. So I think, when I think of angels, it's people who respond, you know, to divine disruptors of the enemy's story. And
oh, I love that. I've never heard it that way. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, Amanda, before we go, last question. Mm-hmm. We'd love for you to share one thing that you know to be true.
Well, there's two. I'm going to do a bonus one.
There's two for you.
One is like, God is absolutely so faithful. Like, I know that's cliche and cheesy, but I've tested it like in the deepest, darkest trenches around the world, trafficking, war zones, my own neglect, my own toxic cycles. I also had toxic, you know, responses, toxic cycles, my own things. He's been so faithful when I was faithless, when I was actively against him. I don't trust you. You're the worst thing. How could you ever let this happen? Where are you? So he's just so present. He's with us. He's faithful. Like I've really, really seen that. So I can testify of that till the end of the earth. The second thing, he is so faithful when to use us. Like I know every single person here can be that angel for somebody else. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to. I love that God took me as an addict. I had just done tarot cards. Like I was actively trying to figure it out. And he said, hey, little girl, I can use you here in the darkest places. Like there was war zone going on. These kids had watched their children these children had watched their parents be murdered in front of them. One child was blown up and missing an arm and mangled because they used him as a human landmine. So if this person who absolutely had no understanding of how to love or didn't even know I was loved or who God was, I don't know that I didn't know how to do it right yet. All the things we in the modern church might be like, no, you have to figure it out first. He took that and was like, here, I'm going to show you what I can do. And I'm not going to just take you, you know, go feed the homeless, you know, do some, which is great. Everybody, let's get in the fights. But he showed me when you say yes and you show up, you don't have to figure it out. Say yes and show up, and I am greater in you than anything out there in the world. Trafficked children, I've held them in my arms. I've had, and just this knowing, all this to say, like, you, I know this to be true, that if you say yes and you say, God, can you use me? You can be that angel for somebody else. And it's powerful and effective. And it begins to change your life when you start to step into purpose. The same things that addictions, the same distractions, they lose their hold because we're like, oh my gosh, I'm here. I have answers and solutions and people are waiting for them. So I know to be true that every single person listening right now, God has a plan for you and he has something that right now you can do and really loose the kingdom and loose the chains of the enemy. We're designed for dominion. So that's what God has dominion for you, to take back the land from the enemy.
Goodness.
Amen.
Amen. Wow. Thank you so much for this. I've learned so much from you.
I'm so glad.
I can't wait to keep following you and look more. So,
Amanda, I told you when we spoke on the phone that Michaela was going to.
Yeah, you did, dude.
Can you tell all of our listeners where they can find you?
Yeah, Instagram, Amanda Rendon, and then amandarendon.com is where you can find me. And if you want to get a hold of me, the easiest way is contact@amandarendon.com. On there, I have a Reclaim course. It's 4 modules, so it goes through the identity. I was mentioning this before. It intersects for neurophysiology, ancient Hebrew scripture, so we can start to take off the lies and find who God says we were, so that we can then go get in the fight and help these people, you know, whoever it might be. Somebody is waiting on us to go get our freedom, and we're going to bring it to them. So that's on there. And then I do one-on-one coaching very sparingly, but I do love to work with people one-on-one when I can. So that's all available there.
Perfect. I can't wait to go look.
Yep. Go let Amanda change your life. Go look for those angels.
Yes. And be one.
Thanks for joining us on Angels Among Us. You can find us on YouTube and wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow along for more stories of everyday miracles and reminders that angels are among us. If you have a story to share, please email or DM us with a brief summary. We'd love to hear from you. And remember, when we are waiting, God is working.